like meant. We were assigned, us, we were given a letter by the chairperson of the council to go back and do a follow-up in Prestige before the actual follow-up on taking Parliament to the Prestige. So the committee is expected to go back to Prestige. It's from the chairperson. I think it's a priority. We have to do that. It's one thing that we must do. But they are also pressing me now that there is a bill that has been referred to the committee. In fact, before the end of the term, we're expecting 5 bills in the committee, and some of them are Section 76. We have to go to provinces. But there's one that has been referred now from the Department of Health, and they said we must prioritize it. So as we think about the program, let's bear in mind that over and above what we know on our program, there are these additional things that are coming up. The first set of minutes, the 25th of April, 25th of April, 2018. Anything on page one? Do we have anything on page one that you want to raise? Page one. 25 April 2018. Page two. Anything on page two? Page three. Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page three, I think it's important to have this reflected. Somewhere the rep from National Treasury stated that the minister had requested to bring the committee, but then the meeting decided that no, the minister must attend that meeting of the three departments. I think it must be reflected somewhere.
Okay, I think we are aware about BMA that we did say in the meeting that we could not have another separate meeting, although we expect them to meet as a priority and the minister be part of that meeting. But also must be reflected in that at the end of the meeting, the chairperson indicated that if the departments are failing to meet, the chairperson should assist to get those departments meeting and discuss on the issue. Can I have a mover with those amendments? Honorable Zohane, move adoption. Honorable Mamboru, okay, thank you very much, all members. Second set, 17th of May, 2018. Anything on page one? Page two. Page three. Anything on page three? Set of meetings is on the 22nd of May 2018.
Yeah.
let me clarify all our members who might have been looking different set of meetings. I was having 17 meetings. I started with 25 April,
yes.
And I had 17 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention 17 of May.
That's what I was doing.
It should be 15 first before 7.
Honorable Samka, can you second the minutes of the 17th?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Minutes of the 15th of May, 2018.
I thought in the minutes for study tour Singapore, I was going to say I was not there, so.
No, thank you very much, honored members. I've got an indication that the deputy minister is coming in a few minutes, but I wanted to just formally now indicate to you that there might be the few changes in our program. We are finalizing the bill next week, the 15th. BMA, because we are behind with social development, we are going to add social development today, next week. The other week, it was supposed to be SASA alone, but we're going to take SASA together with the briefing of the bill from Department of Health. So that we try to make up on time. The oversight, I want members to, I'll give you power, the follow-up at the Free State. We are having a little bit of a challenge. We're supposed to go the week of the 14th. But now we are debating education, basic education that week. We have to go around the parliament. I'm giving a date of the 26th of June to go to Free State. I've noted Honorable Kaula, then it's Honorable Stock.
No, thanks. I'm jumping the gun, Chairperson. So that we don't have a repeat of last time in respect of BMA, the chairperson chat that meeting has taken place. So that if not, then like you're saying earlier on, you try whatever you can to make them meet. Yes.
Yes. I think we
want
to find.
No, thank you very much, Chair. On a follow-up visit to the Free State, the suggested date of the 26th, I think it's going to be a problem for me individually because I serve on the Constitutional Review Committee. And now on the 26th is the first day that we are supposed to be starting with the public health consultation in the provinces. So if that's the case, I will have to submit an apology because we'll be heading towards that. So some of us were not going to recess, so it's going to be a problem. Because we're instructed we must, on the 26th, our arrangements are made already. We can't even submit an apology. Otherwise, we would have said, let me submit an apology, I'll join them after 2-3 days. And then we were told to prioritize that. So just take note of my apology in advance, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable. We take note of that. With this, we agree, members, 26, that the week of the 26th, we go back to the stage. The provincial week will also help us in common. So,
I thought because myself and stops sit in the CRC, you indicate that I'm part of the team.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll be finishing with the parliament here on the 28th, so it can't be the whole week. Because on the 28th, we are voting on the appropriation day, so we're going to hear all of us. 3-9 whip. I'm your chief whip.
Very important.
It's 28.
Maybe if members allow us to use a Monday, we can arrive on Sunday, we have Monday, Tuesday. 28
is Wednesday. 28 is starting in the morning.
Starting in the morning. Yeah. If we can use those days before that day.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to include Monday. Mm-hmm. If we can follow it that way. Yeah. Follow up by the committee. Yeah, the entire committee. Yeah. So stock will not be part of this
oversight.
Okay, we will take note. Thank you very much, all members. We are now waiting for them. Let me allow the DJ to start. Can we do that, all members?
The DJ is not in the house.
The DJ is not here. Because I was going to say, let's allow him to start. When the minister, deputy minister comes, then she can be given an opportunity.
This is really, we've got to go to people.
Thank you. from Malaysia. It's from a different country.
No, but I mean, your research is very nice. I want to show you.
Bernice told me, but I didn't get any information.
And Jola? Are you speaking about a follow-up?
Got a confirmation from the minister, but we told the minister this morning that the minister is not well. So we apologize for that, but we had to do that as a committee. They did it with other committees. So it, with departments, it will be like now the preferential tenders in the committee. There are those that we give them preference, there are those that we treat them differently. We don't expect you to be here the whole meeting. Just to start, if members will want to ask questions before you leave, we will allow that opportunity. But we don't expect you to be here throughout the meeting because we got an indication that you have other commitments. Let me allow you an opportunity, DM, just to start off the meeting. Then the meeting will continue after.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning to the members of the committee. I strongly apologize for the mishap this morning, and I'm happy that that apology has been accepted by the committee. It will not happen next time. I'm here with my team, with the DG, and other officials, COO, and our CFO, Perhaps it would be nice if they introduced themselves to break the silence.
They already done.
All right, hi. Okay. I just want to say that I'm very happy to be part of this presentation here this morning, presenting our APP to you. Because our annual performance plans, if we present them on time to you, it makes our life easier as a department going forward. And we have a number of areas of concern. One of those is the budget cut. The SDG will speak to it, but I think that will more make us not do our work, but we want you to know that we do have a budget cut. The other area of concern is around municipalities, their performance, particularly the metros. Our concerns around the metros is the city of Cape Town, is the city of Johannesburg, and we even taken money from the city of Joburg to give to other performing metros in Gauteng. We have taken 125 million from Cape Town. The other area of concern are provinces who are underperforming. The province that is underperforming is Northwest. Fortunately, now they are under administration like all other departments. We have Limpopo before us, who's underperforming. We have Gauteng, who the decision of the last minister was that the Gauteng needs to be put under scrutiny. We are waiting for our official to divide exactly what we mean by scrutiny for Gauteng. It means that the operations of Gauteng going forward must be having members of the department participating in that area to assist them, to make them perform. Must remember the problem we are having in terms of how they, if they underperform in terms of numbers, it impacts negatively in terms of total outcome, because we depend on them, because we give lots of money to them to build houses. Once they underperform, they bring the whole department down. The other area is the area of informal settlements. It's the area which, each time we do presentation to the department, sorry, to the portfolio or to select committee or to cabinet, it always come red. It's an area of concern, major concern. It's an area that we say that this time we need to turn the page to make sure that we act differently in the issue area of informal settlement upgrading. I think those are the key areas of concern generally. And I think DG must elaborate on each one of them and also tell you with regard to the entire division of the budget itself in terms of program one, program two, program three, and the four programs. We can get into that, DG. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Minister. You raised very important issues. Let me indicate that, Honourable Minister, we are lucky today we have the chairperson of the portfolio committee from Gauteng. He is in the house. I'm glad that we are raising these issues. We will see on that as well as a committee how they can we assist if there is a need for assistance. Gauteng is our province, all of us, also for people like that. They have a province just because they have a province, but most people who are there from different provinces. So we all yeah, we have concerns. If there are issues there, they must be fine. They will be assisted if needs be. But I wanted to indicate also to you, Honourable Deputy Minister, that this is our last planning session before the end of the and next year you will be having a different team. I do want to say we really appreciate the relationship that we had with the department, especially yourself. Yourself, you've been to the committee throughout I was saying to the chairperson of education now that I hope we're not going to have the same problem. The minister before was very busy. We're not lucky to have her in the meeting, but you were always part of our meetings. You made our work very easy. We really appreciate that. DG and the team, we had a very good relationship. We're still going to see you, but I'm talking planning now. But we also do have issues, as Kaula was raising them earlier, that there are issues that we are not sure whether we've been able to achieve them or not as a department. In terms of e-delivery, yes, there are tangible deliveries. Human sacrifice is something that you cannot hide. If there is delivery, there is delivery, you see it. But there are areas where, as a committee, we feel that we have not done so well. The issue of a mining town, upgrading of the mining town, which was pronounced by the president, we had expected that that one is finalized, especially the time frames or the targets that we had for this parliament. We are not sure whether you have finalized them, but it's an issue from our side. I had also indicated the underspending by some of the provinces, you have also indicated, and the overspending by other provinces. Remember, there was a time where Eastern Cape, your Free State, they were overspending, yet they have not reached their targets, which was not on with us, because how do you spend money that you don't have? There is also the issue of the waiting list. Waiting list, which has not been in each and every imbizo or community meeting that you will attend, you have people who have been waiting for their houses for a long time, which has been overtaken by the land invasion. We seem to be prioritizing those people who are putting pressure on us and forget about those who have been on the list for quite a long time. The issue of the waiting list has not been resolved, as well as the minister tried to prioritize the elderly people, but I don't think that we took it physically. We have on that process, because you still have, when you see on the media, all people are still saying in the informal segment, Mkukwini, it's not on to see an old person saying Mkukwini, people who had were supposed to have received their houses long. Your back dwellers. those people also are being overtaken by those who are informally putting informal settlement, and they are not prioritized. It's very much alive here in Cape Town. It was a hot issue that they are not taken seriously. Instead, we prioritize those who are doing land invasion. The child-headed households. The issue of amatikudis. Taikudis, minister, we have not done well. The last time the minister indicated that the capacity that you are building as a department to assist provinces, and we don't know how far are you with that. There are places where houses were invaded, illegally occupied by people. And the initial owners, I know in my province, Mpumalanga, Emmanuel, was an old story. The entire settlement, people illegally took those houses. And the rightful owners are not deregistered. As a result, they are not able to get houses. These are the issues that have been said that, but we do know that you have done so well and the provinces have done so well. Housing included, underspending as they are, have been to some of their projects that they are doing, good projects that they are doing, but I agree with you that they have a big budget. There was an issue of the USDG. You having in mind that you are not the final arbiter, that the National Treasury has to decide on that one. Honorable Kaula, the Mandashi is not in vision. Also relate to the National Treasury. But we've been raising this matter since 2014, and it came up very strong during the local government week in Parliament. These are the issues that I felt I should raise them. These are the issues that we've been with them since 2014 with you, which we hope, oh, I forgot one important one, the military veterans housing. How far are they? So that when we write our legacy report, those things are attended to because they were prioritized. Then I would hand over to PG to proceed with your presentation. PG, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm giving you 30 minutes. It's fine. I'm giving you 30 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I think that's more than enough to cover the entire APP. I am not going to bore you with the first three slides, but the first three slides is your executive summary or high level of things that you wanted to do. I can talk briefly about some of the areas that we have raised here, or we can leave them and come back to them. I think we raised 10 areas that need our intervention. We can come back and deal with them specifically after the presentation. I mean, the starting point is to introduce the APP and the planning documents to you, and then come back to do and zoom into the specific areas like your USDG, what we are doing about it together with National Treasure and COPTA. We come back to the area of title deeds, which I think at some point you need to ask us to come and present to you how provinces are performing on the title deeds. I think we can do that. Which provinces are doing well, the areas of intervention, because if you look at the title deeds, in some areas we have not opened the township to register, which makes it difficult to issue a title deed because you have the subdivision. In Gauteng, for instance, we have 133,000 properties that are locked into those registration processes. So you can't issue title deeds until you sort out all those planning issues. So I think you have to ask us at the right time to come and talk to and zoom into title deeds. We can come back here with National Treasury and Court and present the proposed approach to intermediate cities. They call it a grant for intermediate cities, which in some cases they're talking about mixed cities or another round of USDG for intermediate cities. They have done some work, and they have been, I must be honest with you, they have been threatening to make the final document available to us because we have to comment. But I am aware that Treasury and Copter, they have been working on this, and they also have to present it to the local government budget council before it goes to the Mincombat. Mincombat is the one that will approve the final document. So they have been working on this together, Copter and Treasury. I want them to comment on what they are doing for intermediate cities. They didn't want to use the word secondary cities, because they come across as if they are secondary to other metros. So they have accepted the word intermediate cities. Intermediate cities. Yes, we will call Treasury to come here with us so that we can share with you the work that we've done on the USDG for the city outside the metro. The backyard dwellers, the policy will come back, we present the draft policy. It's not a policy yet, I'm not sure how the process. There is a draft policy on backyard. But there's work that is being done by the metros because the USDG can assist at least in servicing the backyards, because the biggest problem in most backyards is the hygiene standards. If people in the backyard are all dependent on the toilet in the main house, then it becomes extremely difficult at night to have access to sanitation services. Elderly people, our policy allows us to prioritize elderly people. We always write the problem and tell them that it's legally permissible for MCs to prioritize elderly people. In fact, to put it bluntly, the MCs can assist the elderly people to jump the queue. The elderly people should not be in the queue in terms of housing allocation. The policy allows that. We ask social development to give us at least a breakdown by province so that we can prioritize elderly people. There aren't too many of them, so it shouldn't be difficult to accommodate them. So that is allowed. I know that TM has been driving this from her office, writing to MCs and asking them to prioritize elderly people and people with disabilities and Chair, like I said, I don't want to go through the first three slides because this is an executive summit. If we have time, we can come back to this. What I will do, I can start with this slide, which is simple, highlighting policies, legislative and regulations that we want to approve in this year, in this current financial year, which is the last year of this term of government. These are the policies that we want to prioritize. We started the process of establishing the development of the Human Settlements Code. So remember, we still have the Housing Code because we have the Housing Act. So now we're shifting from the Housing Code to the Human Settlements Code. That process is underway. The amendment of the Housing Act to Human Settlements legislation, because we have the housing legislation and yet we're talking about human settlements. So we're also managing that process. The pity of Amedi Valda, who's joined the department. You'll recall that Amedi Valda used to work for the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in the presidency. He's now joined the department. He used to be in the department many years ago, so he knows this space very well. Amit is driving our policy legislative program in the department. We had a workshop with the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements of all these policies a month ago. We're also repealing the Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act. And this is the Measures Act, the Consumer Protection Measures Act, which gave life to what we call today NHBRC, the National Home Builders Registration Council. Every house we build, it has to be registered, and we have to issue a warrant to protect the consumer. And the builders, they have to be registered with NHBRC. So we are repealing that Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act. We also have the Human Settlements Development Bank bill. We may not pass the bill in this year, in this current financial year, but we've already started. I think we've got draft number 4 already, and this is about the establishment of the Human Settlements Development Bank. It has to be established through an Act of Parliament. We're done with operational integrating 3 entities, the development, the NHFC, what we call NHFC, the corporation, and then we have NURTURE, which funds the contractors, emerging contractors, and then we have RALF, the Rural Housing Loan Fund, which funds most rural households. So we're combining the 3 to form what we now call Human Settlements Development Bank. But it will come to Parliament, and we're targeting to at least to publish it for public comment in this financial year. There's also the amending the Prevention of Legal Eviction and Unlawful Occupation of Land Act, what is called PIE Act. Now, on this one, we may not amend. There are two views, but we started some work in terms of what needs to be done to deal with illegal invasions and also to deal with how we respond as government. Remember the existing PI Act. If you don't know what it says, it simply says that if people have invaded land illegally, it doesn't mean that the state must evict them illegally. Processes have to be followed in evicting people. Two wrongs don't make right. So we talked about amending it. We received a lot of advice from state attorneys and from retired judges on how best to go about this item. So we will hammer a nanny on this one. Then there's the revision of the social housing policy and regulations, and that's what we're targeting to do as well. And we have the policy review and evaluations, and we have the development of the policy framework for the human settlements ombuds. There is one missing, which is the passing of the property practitioners bill. We think that bill can be passed. We've got our timelines for passing the bill, the property practitioners bill, which will repeal the old state affairs agency board, because that bill, that act, it was passed in 1976. So people have been asking us, why are we still administering an apartheid act? So the new property practitioners bill will repeal the 1976 Estate Affairs Agency Board. So those are the policies that we want to target in this year, in this current financial year. Some acts, I think there are only three acts that we are targeting to be passed this year. The rest, we still have to do a lot of policy review. But the targets are in the document that my colleague, Neville Chin, is going to present to us. Neville.
Thanks, Chair Members. I'll be quick. Chair, the slide, it's slide six in the document pack, basically gives an indication or an analysis of the different programs. There are four programs in the department. And these programs represent what each of the units does. Chair, just up front, the most important programs here, or not that the others are not important, but in relation to the structuring, program three is the program and project management unit. So that's the heart and the engine room of what the department does. Program four is in essence the program funding or the departmental funding, the grant funding that is managed by the CFO. Chair, the slides that follow then just indicate, and we've given an outline or just a summary to members of what the strategic plan objectives and targets are for Program 1. Chair, and particularly in relation to Program 1, this basically covers the issues that I think as Parliament you've asked that we must focus on, and that is about good governance, compliance, and regulatory adherence. So one of the things that we include here is the intention to achieve an unqualified audit opinion with no matters of emphasis. Chair, that's commonly referred to as a clean audit. And then also the compliance, particularly in relation to the tabling as well as the approval of the internal audit plan. Chair, given the time constraints, I'll just move quickly with the permission of your house. Chair, the program two, and this is on slide 10. Program two starts on slide 10, and this is particularly in relation to the slide summary that DG gave around what those priorities are. Chair, I think the important thing is that, and I think it's just one of the issues that has been raised, which you can indicate. You know, there's a substantial amount of policy that has been done by the department, by National, together with yourselves, we've approved this. The issue is that in many respects, it leaves the leeway for MECs as well as executive mayors to undertake certain processes which allows for area-specific specification. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. So you'll see that in relation to this, there's been a substantial amount of work, and I think DD's raised the issue. Chair, if I could then refer members of the committee to slide 12, and this is, you know, the next couple of slides are particularly those areas of focus in relation to Program 3. Chair, one of the things that we have done, and you'll see it on the first part of this slide, is the project readiness matrix. Now, one of the things that has come up is that in many respects, the National Department approves the Human Settlement Development Grant, and we give it to each of the provinces. We approve the USDG, that's the Urban Settlement Development Grant, and it gets transferred to municipalities. One of the problems we find is that provinces and municipalities put in their business plan projects which are not ready. So what happens is that you then find underspending, poor expenditure, or in many respects, officials and those provinces resort to what we would call dumping. What we have done as a department is we've instituted the project readiness matrix. So before we provide funding to a province, they must show us that what the DG would term the project is shovel ready. Because you cannot, in this financial year, start planning. Because I think members will know that one of the excuses people or officials come and say is, well, you know, it takes 18 months to actually plan something. If you know it takes 18 months, why do you put it on your budget to spend? So we've instituted that project readiness matrix, and there's a DG together with the DG that manages it. We've also, chair members, provided support in the implementation of the catalytic program, and that's in particularly in relation to the HDA. So, Chair, I think one of the things that, in relation to the title G, maybe one of the agencies that we need to bring to this committee that explains the catalytic projects, what the outputs, what the targets are, and where they are, is addressed, because they cover that together with the revitalization of the distressed mining communities program. Now, Chair, one of the things that we have done as part of the HSDG, which goes a little way towards the issue that has been raised by the committee, what are we doing to support bulk and link infrastructure? 2% of the HSDG can be utilized to provide bulk in non-metro areas. So in the case of Mpumalanga, if there's a problem with bulk, then 2% of the current budget can be utilized to supplement that. The important thing about the revitalization of the distressed mining communities program is it doesn't only focus on the issue of housing, because members will be aware that in many of those towns, there's a whole range of socio-economic problems that have resulted when mining came into those areas. It's also important to note that the program does not focus only on the distressed mining towns, but it also focuses on those labor-sending areas. So it's a quid pro quo. So you'll find that in the 22, it covers some of those areas where miners would migrate out of those areas. But the point about it is what happens to the mining, the family, the household you leave behind. Because in many respects, there's a symbiotic relationship. So this program focuses not only on the distressed mining towns, but also the labor-sending areas. For example, there's a plan for us to look at Izana, for example, which is a major area, and parts of KZN. Chair, then Then the one, I mean, on this slide, in slide 13, we focus on the issues around the informal settlements, the upgrading plans, the assessment, as well as the implementation. One of the things that we've discovered is, Chair, and I think this is an issue that you will pick up, is that in many respects, the provinces together with the municipalities are not focusing on this. So in many respects, what's happening in the city of Joburg, what's happening in the city of Tswane, even in instances in Ekurhuleni, for example, and city of Cape Town, there's no focus on poor households living in informal settlements. And the department has a specific area, and we've set those targets. But it's also something that comes from cabinet and the adoption of the MPSA. Okay, then the slides on 14 onwards is the implementation of the housing subsidy program, the private affordable rental housing, and then also the implementation of the social housing program. So all these programs in our APP, we've included them. Then on slide 15, Chair members, the important one there is the title deed restoration program. And one of the things that the CFO will speak about is the title deeds restoration grant that's been established, because based on recommendations of the committee, both committees, there was an instance that said, well, you guys keep on coming and telling us the title deeds program is not performing well. What are you doing? And what we've done now, Chair, is together with National Treasury agreed on a mechanism that allows the National Minister, together with the committee, to have a greater say in how the money gets allocated and what can happen and what the deliverables are. So you'll see that. Then there's also the issue around the question of the military veterans. Chair, the one issue around the question of the military veterans, and I know it's been a bugbear. There's a substantial amount of work, and I think we must give the credit to the provinces together with the municipalities in identifying accommodation. The big issue in relation to the military vets has been the allocation process and the approval and the vetting of those allocation lists. Now, that is something that sits with the military veterans department, and one of the things that we now know is that they've said to us that they've got what would be a credible list. But in certain provinces, there's still those kinds of pressures. So KZN's performed badly, but one of the results has been is because there's been invasions and there's been allocations in relation to that. Chair, I think the other targets are there, and they cover issues around the youth support programs, the HSDG, as well as the important one is on the ninth, on slide 19. Chair, what we have part of our plan, which is documented, and Deputy Minister will indicate, we have stipulated that a minimum, not 30%, but a minimum of 30% of the HSDG construction budget must be allocated to designated groups. That's women, youth, and people with disabilities. And on a quarterly basis, each of the provinces, together with the municipalities, report to Minister and DM about the amount and whether there's adherence to that. So it's something that we've included, and it's part of the APP. It's one of the issues that we've raised with some of the provinces, that maybe we can't be paying lip service to it. We've got to put it in our plan, we've got to measure it, we've got to monitor it, and we've got to make sure that it... And it's not only about construction, but when we speak about that, it's across the value chain. There's consultants and everything else in between. Chair, I will then... ask the CFO in relation to, and it starts on slide 22, the departmental budget.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. With all the strategic priorities that have been underlined, your objectives and the targets, the
following slide concerns the four programs and the budget that relates to the project that we set. Chair must apparently indicate that with all that has been given, we had also enjoyed some budget cuts. But be that as it may, we had to, within the same budget, ensure that all the programs are funded adequately and that the grant, particularly for the purpose of the human settlement, also receives the adequate support that the other programs will provide in terms of the USDG and the HSDG. Chair, also within the same breath, is the fact that we've been in advance, informed by the National Treasury that there will be some budget cuts and there won't be any additional funding rather in the next 3 years to come, given all these economic downturns and the economy that has dropped significantly in the past 2 years. But I must upfront indicate again that with that being said, we had to reprioritize within the same branch, within the same budget that we have in the department. And with everything that has been, I think the slight indication that we had was that from the 33.4 billion that we had closed the year with in 2017-18, the budget experienced a cut of 10.8 billion over the medium-term expenditure framework period, whereby there were some reprioritization of the human settlement development grant. However, there was an enforced budget cut of 2 billion in 1 year and 9 billion over the 3 year term, specifically on the human settlement development grant, as well as the 2.1 billion that has been cut from the USDG over the 3 year term. We also experienced a cut on your restructuring capital grant that is managed by the Social Housing Regulator Authority that forms the consolidated grant between the HSDG and the Social Housing Regulator Authority as well as the operational departmental budget that had experienced a 28.7 million cut in 2018 to 2021. But Chair, the DDG strategy spoke of the title restoration grant. Within the reprioritization, we had to develop three new grants that we have introduced, but within the human settlement development grant. So you realize that over and above the cut of 9 billion over the MTF, we had to reprioritize within the HSDG only, whereby we had to form the emergency housing grant to provinces to respond to the issues that have been outside the country, and at that time we did not have a specific budget for that. And an emergency housing grant for municipalities as well in the instances of fire, bridges and everything. The title restoration grant that the DDG spoke of is an earmark funding that is specifically managed by the department. However, though it transfers to the provinces, but it funds particularly those facilities that at the end of the day are actually experiencing a backlog. Chair, in terms of the allocation that we have in the financial year 2018-2019, the slide, and I think we'll cut some of the slides, but this is the most important summary slide that indicates to the department how much of the money goes to the program itself, as well as how much of the money that goes to your human settlement and the USDG. The grant itself, if you look at your grant and transfer payments, that slide, but it talks of the MTF allocation by economic classification. In this, it sums the total budget of the department, whereby if you look down one with your color coded, the budget for 1718 was 83,000 and reduced by 3.3% to 32. It may look increasing in the outer 19-20 years, but 10%, the 10 billion that has been cut has significantly reduced the main capital grants, which is your USDG and the HSDG. So while it increases by 1 billion and 2 billion over the outer years, we still have experienced cuts. and within the same HSDG and the USDG. Now your grant that goes to your provinces for 1819 in contrast to 1719 is 18.1 billion in the form of human settlement development grant, as well as the urban settlement development grant to the tune of 11.3 billion. And the three grants that I've mentioned as reprioritized within the HSDG, that forms the amount of 948 in total. Then you have subsidies and capital that gets transferred to the DFIs, that some of them DGG has mentioned in the form of consolidations, which is your social housing regulator authority, the community ombud scheme, as well as the housing development agents. In this financial year, we are funding four, one DFI and four regulatory authorities and ombud scheme services together with our agency that is actually required to acquire and reprioritize the land issues, which is the housing development agency, and is receiving 222 million in this financial year and the outer years 1920, so the like. And then we have other different priorities in the form of transfers, the collaboration agreement that we have with the UN Habitat, and the fact that we're also funding the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University for the scholarship programs that we have for the degree in the human settlement. And that takes the form of only 11.7 million in the financial year 2018-19. So the total budget for 18-19 sums up to 32.3. However, the NCAP allocation for the Department of Human Settlement gives you an amount of 101,829,000,000. It does sound a little bit big, but it is divided into your metros as well as your provinces in terms of the 9 and 8 respectively. Now, if we are to look at the differences and in the form of programs, that slide is dividing the number of provinces that we have and each receiving a share within the budget of 18.1 billion, and that's only for the 2018 MCAP. And members are appraised of the presentation that indicates as to the year ahead in terms of the HSDG. So I will only talk to the 18.1 billion of 2018-2019. The Urban Settlement Development Grant also experienced a cut of 2.1 billion over the MCAP, and all the metros were affected by the cut. If you look at the Eastern Cape, we have two metros that had a budget of 1.679 in the year under review with 2018, but it went down again to 1.6 billion in 2018-19. Almost an amount of 10 million reduced in the financial year. So the 11.3 billion has actually been reduced by 80 million in year one, and an amount of 12.5 that is allocated in 2021. That's the USDG that actually provides for the bus infrastructure that the member has been talking about, and particularly for the 8 metros. However, as indicated for the intermediate cities, the discussion are unfolding, and the 2% that the DG has taken over in terms of those measures that we must have about, but for us not to. That the municipalities suffer in terms of the fact that they do not have the urban community working grant. I spoke of the Title D restoration grant. For this financial year, we have 518 subdivided into Eastern Cape to Western Cape, receiving each allocation in terms of the allocation formula, and the needs and the number of services that they have placed in that financial year. So you do have a separate grant that has been certified for the disability restoration grant, and as I indicated, it's specifically earmarked for the people. If the provinces would not be able to use, we run the risk of using the money back to this process. However, we will manage the process during the year in terms of the the emergency I did speak of earlier on, Chairperson, for those issues of the emergency that may arise during the period, is also allocated in terms of DORA as well, but we will also manage it in the EMR system. Chairperson, I think that sums our budget for this, but the rest will be covered as they close the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Members, Chair, the balance just what we've done is, as I've indicated, we don't just give the money, so Slide 31, for example, will give you an indication of what we expect the provinces to deliver in terms of units and their houses and sites. We also give a summary of the HSDG business plans per province, and that's on slide 32. So this is what we expect. But this is not only, I think the important thing is for members quickly, is that these are what the provinces have indicated. We said, here's your amount, this is, and tell us what you can deliver. Then also in relation to the metropolitan municipalities, these are the service sites that we expect delivered from each of the provinces and the metropolitan municipalities in terms of servicing of scans as well as units. Chair, then slide 34 onwards, just as I conclude, what we have done is that just for this year as well, we've provided members of the committee with each of the entities what we expect them to deliver in relation to the bottom line. So we've sat down with each of the entities and we said to them, well, what are you going to provide to the households that we serve? So it's just not about the entities being left on their own. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Chair. It's perhaps proper to state that the three provinces where we delayed the approval of the business plan, and this is because of compliance issues, readiness, metrics issues, project readiness issues, and those are Northwest, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Eastern Cape. In Eastern Cape, the only challenge, the only reason why we didn't approve the business plan on time is because of the ratification budget issue. We have asked provinces to seek ministerial approval before approving the budget for rectification because there's been a lot of abuse in the rectification space. So we wanted to manage things tighter there. In Gauteng, there were six compliance related issues. One was the CRUs, the upgrading of hostels. Because we didn't have norms and standards, so you find that in one province it cost us 400,000 per unit to build one unit. In other province, like in KZN, they've been very modest. It cost them about 250 per unit in terms of hostel upgrading. So we asked them to seek ministerial approval before implementing the project so that we can standardize. Also, the security fees in Gauteng, securing the project, they were very high. So we asked them that they need to pay those security fees from the equitable share, not from the grant. So Northwest, again, in Northwest, it was the state of readiness of projects. In Northwest, over the last 3 years, they started a program called VT. SD, Village Township, small Dobis project where they were appointing small contractors. As a result, Northwest over the last 2 years has been struggling to spend its budget. In fact, they ended the year last year with almost 700 million rands under expenditure. We also took 300 million rands away from Northwest and gave it to other provinces. But after formula, so we've delayed, but we will approve the business plan before the end of May. But we wanted to make sure that they appoint contractors who can perform and help them to recover, because they still need to recover. They have not been performing well for the last 2 years. So, Chair, we tried to summarize a very long planning document, the APP, because we knew that your focus on provinces. So we tried to zoom into provinces and metros so that you get a sense of how we have structured our budget by province and by metros. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the AG and the team.
for the presentation. Can I get members to comment, questions for clarity? Chairperson of the portfolio committee got all the rights to participate in the committee. Starting with Honorable Zwane, Honorable Mambu, Honorable Kaona, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation and the responses that the DG gave even prior to the presentation. Chairperson, I'm at peace with my questions being answered in the right time. Yeah, in the interest of time. One, the issue of youth empowerment program. In light of the fact that we all know that our youth, an increasing number, sitting at about 42% unemployed, what visit programs or opportunities are you giving them, and where are those opportunities? In which provinces? And what are the numbers? When I listened to the radio, Chairperson, the president was saying, one issue that causes him not to sleep peacefully at night is the fact that youth is not employed and they are not getting opportunities for life. So that is why I wanted to but it is not get enough opportunities for life. The issue of CRUs that you made mention of a DG were included, and for a unit you could spend 250,000, you are raised in Gauteng, 400,000 is that right? Am I right?
It varies.
Yeah. From province to province. But I just wanted to know, is it because of price per square meter, or is it because of the topography? What is the response behind it? That is a very big difference in terms of pricing. The issue of title deeds, which is very topical and important. There are houses that have been developed even in the rural areas under the traditional authority areas. I don't know what the situation is like in terms of the title deed, or do we issue title deeds or PDOs? I just want to get the clarity. Are we having a problem of provinces that are not able to use the housing development funds? If they are in, which are these provinces? And what happens to the money that doesn't get used? Do you transfer it to other provinces, or does it go back to the local fiscal? And my last question, Chairperson, is on the finances. I see that under problem one, your allocation for catering is increasing slightly. You're under program two. Your allocation for catering services is increasing slightly. What is the reason for that? And also, your allocation for consultants is increasing under program two, whereas in program one, your allocation for consultants has decreased sharply. What is the reason behind it? And then lastly, Chairperson, the issue of people with disabilities. It was such a big problem here. Because if in an area there is no housing development that is taking place, then it usually becomes very difficult to put a gate in KZN and Sukumasaki. Even if you go the route of Sukumasaki, you still do not get joy for houses to be built in those categories of people, because the argument is always that there is no housing development taking place in this specific area. Now, it is really becoming a big problem. The few minutes I was listening to the radio this morning, here in there is a person with disability, they assess them. There is a person with disability was speaking in the radio, and I felt so bad about it that he is reported that this case to MBC, province of housing, and they reported it to various political parties, and it was the joy. How do we assist those cases within the spirit of humanity? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shakespeare.
I just want to be clarified in between what are the reasons that made the Limpopo provincial department to underperform, so that when I make a follow-up, I'm able to indicate the shortfall. And then on the issue of CRU, which a person has covered me, because I want to understand about the uniformity, because it can be a good sum of money by Gauteng, and when you go to KZN, it is better. I think even if there's the issue of geotech, it can be most of the CRU units. It can be. It might be one or two. But why is this huge gap? Maybe the department should look into that, because I understand it's a matter of different service providers, but we need to be having a uniform pattern in terms of dealing with it. With this issue, those are my questions.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, CM, and your team, colleagues. I want to start by saying, CM, there is no justification for your complaining about budget cuts in view of your understanding. There is just no justification. In fact, I think Treasury was quite right. If you don't spend, cut the budget. So you just can't complain. Until you convince South Africa that you are spending adequately. The second one, Chairperson, is the question that the DG tried to respond to earlier on. I think in the presentation it was not responded to. The issue of this grant, USDG, and the aspirant metros, what plan do you have? Because if there is no plan, I'll keep on saying that my colleagues are now beginning to do the mandashing, Chairperson. We made a commitment together. We made a commitment. Now I want to be convinced that something is happening towards that direction. The other one, Chairperson, is the mining towns. The DG spoke about, or the department spoke about, the labor sending areas. I don't quite understand this one, because labor sending areas is the whole of South Africa. There can be one person from my area going to Gauteng. What do you regard as the labor sending area, and what program are going to do for us? First, you can explain this one. How does it work? Because the whole of South Africa will be labor sending areas. How does this program work? The issue of youth supported through scholarship programs. Can you also explain that one, DG, vis-a-vis NSFAS and free education? Do you still have to do that? The municipal emergency housing grant and the provincial emergency housing grant, these are new. How are they going to work? If you can just explain that. And there is one question that the Honorable Zwane has asked, which I also wanted to ask, in respect of saying your policy, you are saying that you prioritize elderly people, you prioritize the physically challenged people, the disabled people. Now, in the rural areas, like the Honorable Zwane was saying, the program is that a municipality will have a budget, say, for Ward 1. Maybe another program will come after 10 years for what aid. Now you have got people in what aid, what nine, what whatever, who are disabled, who are elderly people. Some of them will have to wait indefinitely for the houses to come, and they'll end up not coming, because in the rural areas, it's not like in the cities. The projects are the what. Now, how do you treat those instances then in respect of prioritizing the elderly people and the disabled people? And lastly, Chair, that USDG, I'm still going to come back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not yet convinced.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Can the Chair please guide me if I'm going to provincialize your meeting?
No,
thank you.
Represent
provinces. Chair, one of the issues that, if I could just share with yourselves, on the invasion, we lost about three cases that I know in Gauteng on invasion, where people invaded houses. And when we went to court after 48 hours, we lost those cases. But last week, I was informed by Johannesburg that they won a case where they had to evict about 212 invaders. The reason they won, it is because the project was still within the private hands. So it was still with the developer. They have not yet handed over the project to government. That's why they won. Those that we lost because of PI Act. That says if you evict me, you must give me an alternative property. So I think the activism of this 48 hours, as much as I support, but I think it's something that is will could sensitize different provinces, that 48 hours we should be responding within in that time. But again, we should, the issue of allocation. In Johannesburg only, there's about 1,000 units that are standing empty, complete. They don't have electricity. So I think on page, I was trying to look at slide number 25, which is the allocation in terms of economic classification, that the issue of bulk, I had the DG told me also to bring COPTA maybe in one of the debates. But the issue of bulk infrastructure is a challenge. Those 1,000 units that I'm talking about, they are just standing empty because there's no power. In Midval, the department allocated more than 400 or so without electricity, and there was a loss of life of two elders. So, which is a challenge. I think these are some of the weaknesses that probably from national you could look at. Now on the bulk in Sidibeng, there won't be much development in the absence of the upgrade. We were even talking with the chairperson of human settlements nationally to say probably we need to mobilize the department about resources. Because in the Sidibeng they were saying they need only about 137 million. That was last year. So I'm not sure how do we deal with this. On the crew, on slide 31, we have failed crew in Gauteng. There are units that are standing empty even today because people can't afford. I mean, you can't, a person was paying 150 rand and you want to move him or her to a crew and you want that person to pay more than 3,000 rand per month. Really, there's no logic. So I think we need to be careful on that crew budget. What is it intended to? Have we made that study, and then I hope we are going to recorrect. I want to link with the debates of the crew in Gauteng expenses. There are renovations, I think Neville would know about Dube Hostel. There are renovations now with GTN FIS there, Focus Intervention Study. To renovate those buildings, they say each building needs 200, each unit needs 200,000, just one unit. These were complete units. They were vandalized. So again, to vandalize more than 100 units while we are watching, again, where's the witness? Security was not paying, they were complaining every day. Some of the things we make them. I'm just saying, we do make the environment to be very conducive for people to commit crime, which we are not doing. So I really want to check the crew. What is the future of the crew and this budget, what is it intended to do versus the experience that you have? Say we stand on slide number 33. We still have a challenge in Gauteng where a service stand becomes a service stand in reporting, but the same service stand becomes an RDP in the next report. So it's a double reporting. Because people who want service stand will be people that are saying, we want to build ourselves results. But if you service a stand today, tomorrow you put a top scratch, that's double degree. So I think there's another thing that I would want maybe clarification from National. How do you deal with that? Yes, we at Gauteng, I can confirm that last week we were getting a presentation on the budget. It was said that the business plan may change depending on the national intervention. On, I can't remember which slide, on the social housing regulatory authority, on SHRAP, I see there's a zero budget. Okay, on slide 31, social, I see there's zero there in the coming 3 years from, I mean, okay, it's for only this year. Can that be explained? What does this mean? Does it mean that we're not going to have all those social housing programs? Just a side issue that was raised by one community member. There's a discontestation in Gauteng of the high rise. People don't want high rise type of thing. They would say because of different beliefs and culture. It's Arena Hakeli on the second floor. Fisher Palmer, my son, will take it. One on the ground floor with some postola or any church. But others really welcome these areas because of the size of the land in county. But there's this person who was part of our meeting from Hammerscraft, which tends to be quite outskirts of county, that why don't we develop more projects in those areas, the outskirts of towns, not to focus too much on towns, and we develop new cities in that context. Because there will be new people staying there. When they come to the cities, they will be doing rental only. Of course, that could be doubled as well. But I found that it's something that maybe can be considered. I'm just saying I'm sharing this because it was only said last week, Friday. I've not shared with the MEC this input. But I'm taking advantage of my presence here to share it with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I just want to highlight, and some of the colleagues have covered what I have to say. We're on a oversight, Chairperson, and I can't remember which province was it, but you were part of the oversight. And on the upgrading of mine town, we had visited, I think it was Northern Cape. One of the issues that was raised by the veterans
is that they are given houses that are one road, and they've got big families. There's no right of privacy, which is constitutional, and they feel it is not adequate, and they had been promised to extend the houses. I want to know, when will that happen on the upgrading of mine houses, and what is the plan? Maybe there's a plan in that regard. The poor workmanship, Jefferson, there have been houses in the Gauteng provinces that tenders have been given to people who cannot build, and there's been a collapse, and it was even shown on national television. I want to know, what is the department doing about people who have been given tenders, who have no track record of building houses, and what have you done with those that have experienced the collapse? Your presentation is silent on the gap housing. I want to know, do you have plans on the gap housing? Honorable Carlo covered me on the prioritizing of elderly and the disability. Concerning the title, there's a no for effect that you had recently given in the Western Cape, the title is in doubt, and I want to know per province, what is the backlog per province? There's a policy, DM, that says you can't sell the RDP house when you have received it from the government within 8 years. And we've seen from time to time in all provinces that people sell the RDP houses within 8 years. What are you doing about that? Mbu, you can also answer that. I want to know, finally, and the my colleague of Gauteng province has touched on this, the service side. I want to know, when are you embarking, DM, on giving service sites and people can build? Because I'm looking at the future, and I'm looking at the cuts in budget. At some stage, we are looking at the budget not being cut and not affording to give people with disability RCPs, and I want to know, when are you embarking on that program? And my final one, and I'm happy to have the answers in writing. My intake Jefferson, is that Okay. I'm answered. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. All members, this advantage DG and the DM of getting a plan before the report, you end up with such questions, because most of the questions belong to the reporting period. Because what was planned for the last financial year has not yet been reported, and we are planning already. My take is that most of the questions belongs to the planning, the reporting, which is still going to come and report. But I'm not saying but not answer them. I will just plead with members that let's allow these written answers, unless they are urgent questions that we need. I want to also add on to my side that I had it, Kaul, it was my first point, that how do you balance underspending versus budget cuts? Because those provinces who are underspending, they're doing it on the main DM. We would want to have as much houses as possible, but what does it say with your MAE unit if you do have? Are you monitoring? And the planning part of it, I'm glad that you are doing something
that you can't budget some for something that is not going to require budget in that particular year. Fully support that, and that is the way you need to go. Because what provinces do, they request money of things that money is not going to be required in that particular year. So we appreciate the USDG. We have not changed what we are saying. I don't know, remember, I was checking if we're going to have also the number of issues that I raised when I started the meeting. We need answers on those issues. We can't close the term without finalizing those things and knowing the status of them. That you will have to allow a session which might invite as well our provinces on those issues, because a lot has been raised by also municipalities during the local government week, that you come with a number of houses to build in the area they don't have. They have said they have not proclaimed. It was not on their plane. They have not proclaimed a land for township establishment. Two, they don't have money for services. So now, money is given to provinces, they are stuck with money and they come with it as a complaint, which has got a lot to do with planning processes. I'm of the view, Honourable Kaula, that we have not changed. We have not changed on this. It has to go to those, it doesn't matter how they call them. The important part is that from our side, we said, in fact, during your reporting period, DG, you reported almost all the metros were underspending. Our take as a committee was that they don't need that money. The money is required by those secondary cities or whatever city, intermediate cities. It's required there because they have got the same pressure of urban migration, people moving from rural areas to those cities. I'm of the view, Honourable Kaula, that if we have an opening, I was thinking that we might have a date open where we can invite them to come and respond to all these issues. I want to check, DG, how many bills should we expect for this term? It will help us to plan. In my province, Mpumalanga, even the service providers has been appointed to build a big project. One of them, I think, is 10,000 houses. The other one is 2,000, 4,000. But the city is not ready. One, the places that were pronounced during the state of the province address, they don't have those sites are not proclaimed. Two, they don't have bank. Already the service providers have been appointed. So I think that's where the problem is. We had, when they phoned me, said we'll arrange a meeting where you'll be invited and see how best we can manage that. I think the same thing with other provinces, it might have not been Mpumalanga only. The issue of informal settlement is a big issue. I'm happy that you highlighted that. These big cities, they are not prioritizing those areas for informal settlement. It's everywhere, but you see Cape Town is on our face every day, in and out of Cape Town. And people are dying. When it is winter, they have winter rainfall, people, there are floods. When it is summer, sheds are burning, people are dying there. But when they have an opportunity to plan, those things are not prioritized. I think something must be done. I want to add on the military veterans. In the very same project we went to Northern Cape, I don't know how best we can do what we do with the mining towns, that we don't only look at the houses, because their complaints were saying, these houses have been built in town, they are not working. They are expected to pay property rates. They don't have money to pay property rates. And they are not working. Electricity and stuff, I know they have to pay the East Indian grants there. But property rent was also the biggest issue, that they don't have money to pay for property rent. The last one from my side, I've left this other thing. The last one is that
the bursary station that was given to
talk to your team manager.
The bursary that was given to a portfolio committee for Nelson Mandela. The M may not know, there is a bursary, the scholarship
for this new program we have with Nelson Mandela. I happen to know it because I'm attending the course.
There were forms given to members of the portfolio committee. Some of them are not even part of the portfolio committee. They are members from different committees. They happen to attend. But there was an allocation that was given to portfolio committee. We raised it in this meeting, in a formal meeting. I raised it because I knew about it, that we also need to be given to identify, not for our children, to identify students who need, there is a criteria who qualifies. We were promised to get it before the closing date. We did not get it until today. It really raises some issues with the committee that we prioritize the NA over the NCOP. We don't want to go to the state petty politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's not from the political level. We discussed it at in this meeting with the department. DG, we do have people in our constituencies. Can we be given, because it's late now, maybe plan for next year, allow them to apply so that they themselves can qualify. Yes. Then, I think that is it from my side. I want to plead with members, please, can we have, unless you have a burning thing that you want them to respond, but DG, can we have the responses before we debate?
Mm-hmm.
But our problem is that we request some answers, we don't get answers until the next meeting. Can we have the written responses before our debate so that members know that these issues are responded to? They don't raise them. That is why sometimes you find them raising them during the debate. Okay, next week Thursday we're debating can you know why I'm insisting this? Sometimes I get angry with members when they raise issues in their debate which were raised in the committee. The reason being is that those issues are not responded to. And they are forced to, they get a platform to speak about those issues. But if we respond, at least one has a reason not to behave with that. This thing was dealt with in a committee level. Why raise it in plenary again? So can we request that we respond early before we debate Monday? Monday, we get our answers on this Monday, a week before what is to do. All right, members, is there anything that is pending you want it to be answered now? We are fine. Thank you very much. With that, PM, do you want to say a word or something?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It was a mouthful. I think it was interesting to see how keen members are in understanding the issues of the department and also the way they take keen interest in resolving them. On the issue of youth, we have agreed that it's going to be written answers. So we'll answer those that we think we can. Youth empowerment project, it is important.
Yeah. Why don't you put all of them in one basket?
All in one.
Just those two. One member's issue, you have to answer another member's one issue. One answer to all.
So, I just want to say that one of the things that is very, very clear is that the issue of people who are in vulnerable places, like informal settlements, especially the elderly people, people with disabilities. It becomes very, very difficult for them, particularly if they are in the rural areas, to be catered for. What we normally do in the instances where we find people in these door-to-door that we do, we find people in those situations, we try and find the projects nearby. But in the event where there's no project nearby, we take it as a vulnerable case, we bring it to the department to see what is it that we can do. Perhaps the person where the person stays is a plot, then we can build, turn that shack into a house. So there are a number of ways, but I must say, it's not a light issue. It's a very, very difficult issue. The other issue is the issue of the budget, that we're not spending, hence the cut. I just want to say to members, what we do in the course of the year, once we notice that a particular province is not going to spend, before we can take that money to treasury, we divert that money from that particular province to a province that spends. But that doesn't remove the fact that we're not spending. But I'm saying we haven't taken a cent from ourselves to treasury. We have tried to spread around the monies around provinces so that we save. There is that monitoring and evaluation unit within the department. We can see beforehand which province is going to spend, which municipality is going to spend, which municipality is not going to spend. And we warn them beforehand that we're not going to spend. Therefore, we're going to take the money from you. Okay, can you just...
Thank you, Chair. We will put all the responses in writing and we targeted to get the responses submitted to you by close of business on Monday.
Well, thank you very much. On the on this youth and women, the target groups, please monitor that program, because as Zuzwane has asked that question, you don't really see it. Maybe it's corruption. You'll find that those who are benefiting are those people who are connected. We don't want that. We want to see if it is women, let it be women who qualify. The criteria must be very clear. And for the youth. Thank you so much. The meeting stands again. Thank you.